Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the question, of course, is just how crazy will the left react to all the ICE raids that President Trump and Tom Homan are going to be doing over the next few days? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. The Laken Riley Act has officially passed. It heads now to President Donald Trump's desk with bipartisan support. And obviously, President Trump is going to sign it. Even, yes, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman voted for it. That act is going to expand the number of crimes that ICE agents can use as justification to deport somebody who is in the country illegally. And clearly now there's also a directive to probe officials who are hindering immigration laws. So what does that mean in our fourth and final hour here? What that means is that if you are somebody who is a local official and you are trying to get in the way of the administration enforcing federal law, you're going to get in trouble. All right. And the Justice Department issued a memo telling prosecutors to follow the immigration agenda from the acting attorney general, saying it is the responsibility of the Justice Department to defend the Constitution and accordingly to lawfully execute the policies that the American people elected President Trump to implement. Now, the only jurisdiction they have is over United States attorneys, obviously. But the question, of course, is, you know, for a guy like Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, is he going to cooperate? Of course not. But if he doesn't help, that's one thing. If he actively stands in the way, well, then he could get arrested. No different than, by the way, if you or I stood in the way of the feds doing their job. I love how this is a controversial thing. Why is this controversial? The states have a job to do and the federal government has a job to do. It's called federalism, right? I mean, if tomorrow the feds came in and tried to stop the state from performing one of its functions, people would be rightfully outraged. So if a state used its resources, either on the state or local level, to stop the federal government from doing its job, people should be rightfully outraged. I don't understand why this is controversial. If the feds show up and try to get a fugitive, I mean, you saw the movie, right, with Harrison Ford. You saw the movie and Tommy Lee Jones. And you understand how this works, right? If I harbor a fugitive, then I'm committing a crime. So if Larry Krasner harbors a fugitive, it's no different. He's not he doesn't get a special pass because he's the district attorney of Philadelphia and I'm not. Neither one of us can harbor a federal fugitive. Nobody's allowed to harbor a federal fugitive. It's not that complicated. It's, look, Krasner doesn't have to help, but he can't stand in the way. So the argument that the feds are going to make is, hey, listen, if we tell you we want that person and you let them go, we're going to accuse you of harboring a fugitive and we're going to accuse you of a crime and we're going to arrest you. Because you gave aid and comfort to that fugitive to escape. And quite frankly, I don't see how that's controversial any more than if the federal government knew that a wanted criminal was at my house and they said, well, we're on our way. And I showed the guy how to sneak out the back door and go hide in the woods and get away. I've harbored a fugitive. I've helped them evade capture from the authorities. I would go to jail. I would get arrested. And if Larry Krasner does that, he should get arrested. What is it? They get a special pass because they're elected officials? No. The law is the law. He doesn't have to turn the guy over, but he can't stand in the way of the guy getting turned over. And that's the difference. So for too long now, these prosecutors have played a little game here, which is that a sanctuary city means they won't cooperate with an ICE detainer request. So somebody's in their jail. ICE says, we have a detainer request. We want that person. And the local units turn around and say, well, we're not giving them to you. We're going to let them go. Well, this administration is going to view that as giving aid and comfort to a fugitive, that you're aiding and abetting the law. Look, Philadelphia doesn't have to help them capture an illegal immigrant who's a criminal who's wanted by ICE. In other words, the city doesn't have to use its resources to do so. But the city can't set up a roadblock so that ICE agents can't go arrest somebody. You know, that this is where you get into what's called common sense here. And I don't think the Philadelphia police want to be in the position, by the way, of stopping ICE agents from doing their job. And this is the thing you're going to see with this administration. And they'll take these people to court if they have to. And that's ultimately what will happen. Some of them will probably try and get arrested to prove a point. These are self-grandizing jackasses who love attention and love to be the center of it and love to do things for political stunts. So if Larry Krasner has the opportunity to get arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement for impeding their function, he'll do it. Alvin Bragg will do it. The guy in Chicago will do it. These people will love to do it. You kidding me? They'll act like they're martyrs, but the problem is they're going to be on the wrong side of this. And people have had it with these guys. They've had it with the lawlessness. They've had it. I know what you're thinking, but how come they keep reelecting them? They keep reelecting them because, yes, these are Democrat cities, but they are Democrats, and it's going to reflect poorly on the entire party. So it may not reflect poorly on them, and it may not hurt them politically. It's going to hurt the Democrat Party writ large. And the question is, will John Fetterman condemn it? Will Josh Shapiro condemn it? If there's a position where the District Attorney of Philadelphia tries to use his power to stop federal law enforcement from doing their job, will the governor of Pennsylvania, who was the Attorney General at one point, come out and condemn it? Will he use state resources to assist the Trump administration in doing their job of trying to get rid of these criminals? Or is he going to pretend he's Switzerland and do nothing? It's like I already know certain members of some of these elected officials, they're absolutely 100% going to impede. The other question is how many of them will just try to stay on the sidelines? By the way, Trump has revoked the national security clearance of all 51 former deep state hacks who signed the Hunter Biden letter. Isn't that great? Good. Including John Bolton. He also took away his national security clearance. Excellent. Good. None of those deep state hacks should have national security clearance. None of these people have any reason to know our secrets. None whatsoever. First of all, I've never really understood that whole thing. Your term is done. You're out of office. You still get national security clearance to be able to look at sensitive information. For what purpose? If they need your opinion on something, they can give it to you for like that day. I don't think you should have it just in general. Never really understood that. Senator Mike Lee saying right now that Democrats are trying to play a game by essentially filibustering Trump's nominees. And they don't want to use recess appointments. They'd rather use the regular way to do it. But you've got this jackass Chris Murphy in Connecticut, for example, who's doing the 30-hour debate procedure, which is a Senate procedure to try to stall the confirmation votes, which is despicable. So we'll follow that going forward. And the other thing today, which I really, really liked, is that President Trump shut down DEI officials at 5 o'clock. As of 5 p.m. today, all DEI offices in D.C. were closed for business. Good. Closed for business. He also pardoned the Silk Road founder, Ross Ulbricht, keeping another promise he made to the Libertarian Party that he would pardon the founder of Silk Road because the guy was given a double life sentence without parole. And as many people like Senator Rand Paul pointed out, and this guy's been in prison since October of 2013, he was sentenced to life in prison with no parole by Judge Catherine Forrest in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Albright was convicted back in February of 2015, on seven charges, all related to the operation of a dark website called Silk Road, which used Tor-enabled anonymity and the cryptocurrency Bitcoin to allow people to buy and sell often illegal items in safety and security, with the site providing an escrow service between buyer and seller to ensure both were satisfied. He was a clever entrepreneur, enthralled by libertarian ideas derived from the likes of Murray Rothbard and Samuel Konkin about the richness and justice of truly free markets, not hobbled by government threats. He was charged with all kinds of different things. None of the charges were related to either personally selling an illegal substance to anyone. He merely ran a website that facilitated, and none were related to causing direct harm to anyone's life or property. Silk Road's innovative mail order using Bitcoin combined with user reviews of sellers imposed some real market discipline on drug dealers, keeping buyers from the occasional dangers of physically obtaining drugs, and allow people not violating others' lives and property to buy and sell drugs with less but not zero legal risk. Because of that and the site's role in publicizing and popularizing the use of Bitcoin as currency, he was considered a martyr of sorts to many in the libertarian and Bitcoin communities. Trump's promise, out of character for a man who otherwise advocates for the death penalty for drug dealing, was widely seen as an attempt to appeal to those parts of the larger anti-establishment coalition he put together on his way to the return to the White House. Albright has expressed regret and an intention to be a law-abiding citizen, and there is certainly little reason to think he'd ever represent any danger to others on release. Reason.com's Nick Gillespie and Jacob Sullum have in the past week provided detailed discussions about why letting him out after serving 11 years is proper and just. And the president spoke at the Libertarian Convention and made the promise that he would do so, that he would let him out of jail. The judge in the case, by the way, was particularly biased against him. Very, very biased against him. And even as Tom, what's his name from Grabian pointed out, Tom Elliott, the judge also tried a legally compelling Reason magazine to send her the names of people commenting on an article criticizing her. That's right. Reason magazine had an article criticizing the judge, and the judge tried to force Reason to turn over the names of those people who are criticizing the judge. And the feds investigating Ross stole millions in Bitcoin and falsely framed him with hiring a hitman, Ross Albright. The entire case was an example of how the feds flout the law in their zeal to make headlines. Judge Catherine Forrest suggested that because of Ross's privilege, she was giving a much harsher sentence than she would give to a drug dealer from the Bronx. So there you go. Senator Rand Paul was just on Fox News a short time ago saying he was very happy about this because the sentence was not anywhere keeping in line with the charges. It was another example of overzealous prosecution by the government and by the judge, who was hell-bent on proving a point. And the point the government was trying to prove at the time was, if you try to use Bitcoin to evade us, we'll go after you. Trump has embraced Bitcoin, as is Elon Musk, obviously, and Trump actually just made a whole lot of money on Bitcoin just the other day. Oh, there's an update from the Senate, by the way, and this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Get that free dental implant consultation today. Democrats in the Senate Judiciary Committee stalled Pam Bondi's confirmation vote for 7 days, so she now has to wait until the 29th. John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, said he expects the next procedural vote for Pete Hegseth to be held tomorrow, with the final vote taking place Friday, possibly Saturday morning. John Ratcliffe's vote for CIA Director was supposed to be last night, but that moron in Connecticut, Chris Murphy, stalled it, demanding a full debate. His vote should be on Thursday. So there you go. That's the latest, with Democrats still playing lots and lots of games. And that's happening as we speak right now. But Trump has ripped the security clearances from the 51 spies who lied, and he hit them with another bombshell. This from redstate.com. He also revoked the Secret Service protection of John Bolton as well. Now, I don't hope anything bad happens to him. I don't hope anything happens to anyone bad. But I feel like John Bolton, if he needs protection, should have to pay for it like anybody else. That's my opinion. But the order demands that the DNI submit an assessment within the report providing recommendations to prevent intelligence officials from inappropriately influencing domestic elections in the future. So if Tulsi Gabbard gets confirmed, this will be her job. It also seeks recommendations for any disciplinary action that should be taken against anyone who engaged in inappropriate conduct related to the letters signed by the 51 former intelligence officials. And the House Judiciary Committee and the House Intelligence Committee, there, former acting CIA director Mike Morrell testified that he received a call from the former Secretary of State Antony Blinken discussing the Hunter Biden laptop story. Blinken was serving at the time as a senior advisor to the Biden campaign. Morrell claimed the conversation spurred him to gather various signatures from intelligence officials to help discredit the very real Hunter Biden laptop story. This was, of course, the most egregious example of election interference that I can ever think of in my lifetime. And it really did happen. And now all of those 51 former national security hacks have been revoked. Matt DeSantis is very happy because the Diet Coke button has returned to the Oval Office officially. And woo-hoo. Yes, Matt DeSantis, if we ever get to do an interview in the Oval Office with President Donald Trump, I will ask him if you can push the Diet Coke button.
Even if he says no, I might still push the button. I'll just have Secret Service wrestle me to the ground, I guess. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
I just want to push it once. You don't want to push the wrong button, though. I don't know if there are buttons on that desk that, you know, trigger a nuclear response. So we'll have to figure out which one's which.
Yeah, don't do that. And I won't do what I did last time, which is to put my recorder on the Resolute desk. He keeps nothing on the Resolute desk, and I put my recorder on there, and he was not happy about that. So I'll try not to do that again next time. So, you know, there you go. But there you go. Matt DeSantis will go, oh, can I have a Diet Coke, sir? Push the button, and then boom. It'll cause World War III, but at least you'll get your Diet Coke in the meantime. So look at it that way.
I hope so. You hit the wrong button and there's a nuclear strike. I got to believe that their main priority isn't going to be getting me a Diet Coke, but who knows?
No, but the thing is the Diet Coke will survive nuclear apocalypse. Remember that.
It's like Diet Coke, Twinkies, and cockroaches.
Basically, those three things will last the test of time. And all the other stuff would have lasted too, except now they're getting rid of red dye number three. So forget that. Thanks, MAGA, or MAHA. All right, well, listen, we got more to come. Let's talk about artificial intelligence, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our fourth and final hour continues. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
First things first. The issue of what's going to happen as we look towards the future of Pennsylvania politics now that we've got Senator John Fetterman coming out and saying he absolutely 100% is not going to switch parties. Never thought for a minute he was going to. Never thought he would. Dave McCormick is now the top dog in Pennsylvania politics. And there's going to be a couple year gap between now and when the governor is up for re-election. Josh Shapiro. And Shapiro, obviously, is a very popular Democrat, but his eyes are set on running for president of the United States of America. On the Jersey side of the river, you've got King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy. And there was a story today about how his ban on cell phone use in the classroom is gaining national news. All right. Murphy's another one who wants to run for president of the United States of America, and he's trying to Trump proof New Jersey. At the same time, begging Trump to end congestion pricing going into New York City. So I'm not sure how the two things vibe. The reason why I bring this up is because you're about to start seeing ICE raids happening. And the question becomes, what do these two Democrat governors who both want to be president of the United States do? You know what the jackass Gavin Newsom's going to do? Not fight fires, not use water to put out fire, and not make sure that fire hydrants have water. You know that. You also know that he's going to say, we're not cooperating with any ICE raids. We're not helping, and we're not going to be part of the solution. Murphy has basically said the same thing. He says he wants New Jersey to be the California of the East Coast. Okay, he said that before. Got it. All right, he said that. Now, then the other thing, and this is the other question, of course, is whether or not that means that he's going to stop the deportations that occur in places like Newark, New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey, and other places like that. Because if he does, he's going to find a very angry Tom Homan. Or is it all just going to be bluster and talk? Same thing with Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro, though, I think, since he wants to try to claim that middle road of the Democrat Party, if such a thing exists anymore, and I don't think it really does, I think he's going to be much more likely to say, we're going to cooperate on getting rid of criminals, while he turns around and says, but we're going to protect law-abiding citizens who are on a path to citizenship and get them on a path to citizenship. But, of course, that's really, we're only talking about criminals here. We're only talking about going after the bad guys. The bad guys. Like in the last 24 hours, for example, ICE arrested over 308 serious criminals. Some of them were murderers. Now, look, I'm all for that. I don't really know how anybody could be against that is my question. Like, who's going to be against arresting murderers? And who would be against deporting murderers? Like, raise your hand if you're like, no, I think the country's better off with more murderers on the streets. I think it's better. Raise your hand if you think having rapists roam the streets is a better thing for America. Of course, nobody thinks that. They have so many criminals to go after. It's going to be a long time till they start grabbing the abuelas and pulling them off the streets and saying, Grandma has to go. But that's, of course, what the Democrats are going to scream about. Oh, something else happened today. Trump ordered all of the executive agencies to shut down their DEI departments. Yeah, baby. That's right. Shut down their DEI departments. And the mayor of Philadelphia is going viral for not being able to spell the word Eagles. Although I don't know if it was a joke because it's Eagles. I don't know. But anyway, that's gone viral. And we'll talk about that, of course. We're going to have to, obviously, with the big game coming up on Sunday. Oh, and if you're wondering how we did on Fox News Saturday night, this past Saturday night, I'm going to share something with you. I'm not supposed to share this with you, but I'm going to share it with you anyway, right? So just keep this between us. And don't tell Fela that I told you this, okay? But it's between us. I tell you everything. Number one in the demo, the key demo for all primetime television, and number three in overall TV viewers Saturday night. And apparently, I didn't know this, there was a football contest on Saturday evening with 46 million people watching that. So despite the fact that there was a football game on, which is news to me, we were number one in the demo for all primetime television and number three in overall TV viewers with 46 million people watching football while we were on live 10 p.m. on Fox News Channel Saturday night. So there you go. I'm only telling you that not to brag. I'm only telling you that because your time is valuable, and I know that you're rooting for me, so I'm rooting for you. We're all in this together. The Zioli Army's a family, after all, so we're doing good, all right? We're doing good. Now, a little bit later in the show, if you're streaming live on YouTube, you're going to see me do my medicine on the air. The reason why is because I forgot to do it earlier, and I can't mess around with this. And I know I'm not supposed to mess around with this, so I'm not going to mess around with this, all right? I'm going to do this. We're going to do this right. I'm going to give myself my antibiotic, and we're going to watch me do it on the show. All right? That'll be live must-see TV, special for the streaming YouTube crowd. I always try to give you something special on YouTube. Well, today, you're going to see me whip out my IV, not whipping it out like Cuban style, whip out the PICC line, and then inject myself with my antibiotic. All right? So you can look forward to that. Grab your popcorn and get ready. Good. The other thing is a little bit later in the show today, we got a loaded up show today. So we've got a couple great guests on, including my buddy Brianna Lyman. She's going to be joining us soon. Gerald Posner. Now, we're going to talk about a bunch of things with Gerald Posner, but I really want to ask him about the JFK files that Trump says he's going to release because Gerald Posner wrote the book, Case Closed, saying that there's, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald did it and that's the end of it. So I'm going to talk to him about that as well. And AI is all the rage. So actually, that's where I want to begin today. On the show as we begin. And I'll say that that is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Make Dr. Mike your choice when it comes to your dental care. So I got an email yesterday from my buddy Brian Glass, very, very worried about the whole artificial intelligence thing. He's my DC and Marvel advisor, and he sent me a note on Twitter. And, you know, look, I try to read all the notes that are sent. I sometimes do a terrible job of responding. It's not because I don't want to. It's just because I get distracted very easily. I have no attention span, and also I have three kids. And also I'm dealing with this friggin' staph infection. So if I don't get back to you, I apologize, but know that I've read it, and I take it seriously, especially when you send nice things. All right, be nice, baby. Anyway, he sent me a note last night, and he said this is one of the most important things I've written. He said, "I'm very, very concerned about this artificial intelligence stuff," and I've gotten similar notes from that from people saying they're very concerned about the artificial intelligence and how it's essentially now basically going to be like, well, the way it was with the Department of Homeland Security, and how the Department of Homeland Security coming on board was a thing that we all knew at the time was something that the government would use. And can artificial intelligence be weaponized against us one day? And it's a very serious concern. There's no doubt in my mind that artificial intelligence will be problematic in the future. The question, though, is how do we harness it now? How do we harness it in a positive manner? And maybe you feel the same way as I do. Like, there's no stopping it. Like, let's say tomorrow the government were to come out and say, we're going to put a stop to this whole AI thing. All right? No more AI. Like, stop. No more artificial intelligence. Stop it right now. If they were to do that, the Bond villains would all laugh and they would proceed to creating AI anyway. So I think yesterday when Donald Trump brought these tech titans into the White House, who were all going to make a very important private sector investment into a public-private partnership with the government for the purposes of creating AI, is that the right move? Is that the smart move? Because now at least you're getting ahead of it. You're getting in front of it. What is inevitably going to be something that is just unstoppable, an unstoppable force, artificial intelligence. Is if we're not doing it, if we're not controlling it, it's going to be done. And either way, even if we do control it, it doesn't stop Dr. Evil from doing it inside the volcano and creating artificial intelligence that's going to be very, very problematic. And besides Dr. Evil, I'm talking about China. I'm talking about Russia, Iran. I mean, all the countries that are the pain in the neck. I'm not going to say axis of evil, but I'll say the pain in the ass caucus of countries. Particularly China, and that artificial intelligence we know is already being utilized. We talked about this with Congressman Jeff Van Drew yesterday. Artificial intelligence, launching drones off ships, and then changing the frequency automatically so that the drones become undetectable. Okay? There's nothing we can do except try to be on the right side of this and hope that our enemies don't develop it faster than we do. In many ways, the race for AI is really the race that we were in to try to get to the moon. There was a huge race to get to the moon first. It's funny, there's an interesting show on Apple TV, if you've ever seen it, called For All Mankind. And yes, they call it that. I was shocked they didn't change the name to For All Humankind, but they kept the name For All Mankind. And it's all about the space race and the question of if the Russians had gotten to the moon before we did, if the Soviet Union had gotten to the moon before we did, and it creates an alternative history, an alternative timeline that occurs as a result of that event. But it was if you were around then, it was a very serious race to the moon. It was also a very serious race to fake the moon landing. I kid, or do I? And the whole issue with Sputnik, and then, of course, there was an arms race. There was a space race, and there was a nuclear arms race. In many ways, AI, we're in the same place as that. It's who's going to be able to get AI under control first. And really, what I think nobody's saying out loud, this is my own personal opinion on this, is can my AI beat up your AI? No, really. If you were to think about it from the perspective of, like, kids on the schoolyard. You know, my dad can beat up your dad. And it's like, okay, all right, fine. And you remember the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick? Great movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. And it's one of my favorites of all time. But they had the Whopper, the computer, which was artificial intelligence, which essentially now would then control all the nuclear launches. And it becomes self-aware, so to speak, and decides to, you know, shall we play a game? I think in this entire AI conversation, what we're not talking about, we're talking about things like heart scans, scanning your blood for cancer. We're not talking about how our AI can be able to defeat China's AI in the great AI arms race for strategic control of planet Earth and the military and space. And I think there's a genuine fear of we don't know how advanced AI is from the perspective of other countries. I mean, in some ways, a lot of this has happened, and I think we're playing catch up. I think we're playing catch up because Biden's a moron, and Biden wasn't aware of all this happening. And I think the other reason why we're playing catch up is because for the last 4 years, our government was so hyper-focused on going after all of us, utilizing artificial intelligence and algorithms and everything else, that they weren't thinking about China. And when China launched their hypersonic missile, we all turned around and went, what was that? What just flew by? That seemed really, really fast, technologically advanced. So yesterday, Trump brings in these big tech titans, and they're all talking about how we're going to have all this money invested in artificial intelligence. And immediately, there's all questions about the invasion of privacy. There's questions about public health. But what I'm thinking is, how do we ensure our AI can beat up their AI if it ever comes down to an AI battle? And I don't even know what that looks like. It kind of reminds me of Frank Pantangeli in Godfather 2. You know, my God, I don't have your brain for big ideas. You know, I don't have the brain. My brain is not built for figuring out how artificial intelligence can rue the day. So every knowledge I have on this comes from movies. And we've always thought about AI turning on us. You know, we create this artificial intelligence, and then one day the machines get smart and decide to turn on us and kill us because they don't like us. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's any minute now, the robot overlords, and we always joke about that. But what we haven't really talked much about is when a country such as Russia or China or Iran or North Korea or whatever else, pick your country du jour, harnesses AI for the power of controlling, say, our power grid, disabling our AI for the purposes of bringing down the United States of America. And then in the course of all that happening, can their AI knock out our satellites? You know, we've had conversations about, say, I mean, think in the 1980s of President Reagan talking about Star Wars. And you remember how they mocked him back then about this? The idea of having an ability to shoot down missiles. Well, nowadays, that's just considered something that if we don't have that, shame on us. But if you remember the 80s, you remember how Star Wars was mocked over and over again. Everybody was going on about how Reagan's lost his friggin' mind, this notion that we were going to have a shield over the United States of America and be able to shoot down nukes. Ultimately, it led to one of the worst mistakes ever made, which is Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. And I mean this when I say that. That movie was an absolute disaster, where Superman decides he's going to end nuclear war and goes out and gets all the nukes and brings them up to throw them into the sun. And then there's a whole nuclear dude, and it's just bad. The whole thing is bad and never should have happened. I mean, it's still not as bad as anything they did in the DC Extended Universe with Ben Affleck as Batman, but really teetering on the edge there. So now we just kind of take that for granted. I mean, if tomorrow a nuke goes off by accident, let's hope to God that the technology is there to shoot it down. If not, we're all going to be looking at each other like, why don't we have that? Because it seems that we probably should. And I imagine that we do at this point. How many we can shoot down at one time, I don't know. But in the whole argument of artificial intelligence, we've always thought about bad guys hacking into things. What about artificial intelligence knocking out the defenses or knocking out whatever space defenses we have, or quite frankly, taking over our artificial intelligence and being able to manipulate that and control that for the purposes of strategic shutting down submarines, shutting down Air Force, shutting down planes, and all kinds of different things. I think that's a genuine threat that we're all just kind of playing catch up to. And I'm sure from the perspective of the bad guys, they're probably thinking the same thing, too. Can the United States of America knock our planes out of the air? Can the United States of America disable our submarines from Washington, D.C., from the Pentagon, from wherever else, using artificial intelligence? Jack Carr's written a lot about this. You know, his books talk about this artificial intelligence that becomes sentient. And ultimately, Lucy has all this power and becomes a major threat. I don't want to give anything away if you haven't read Jack's books, but they're using artificial intelligence now for military purposes. I'm glad Trump's there because I think Trump is smart enough to figure out that when the guys who are smarter in this area than him sit down and explain what the threat protocol looks like, and then guys like Kash Patel sit down and explain, and Tulsi Gabbard, not that they're tech people necessarily, but that they can sit down and explain to him how artificial intelligence can be used against the American people. Trump's going to listen to that, pay attention to that, and then figure out how we can safeguard our liberties versus if there was a lefty in charge who would either not be cognizant of the threat China poses or want to see the government be able to take advantage of this for the purposes of further going after people who shop at Cabela's and buy fishing poles and wear MAGA hats. You know what I mean? Like in the movie Captain America, Winter Soldier, because again, all of my knowledge on this comes from movies, there's a whole thing where they launch this giant ship and the ship has artificial intelligence and it's used to kill all the enemies of S.H.I.E.L.D. because Hydra has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. Captain America has to go in there and destroy the ship. But the ship has figured out who all the bad guys are and is going to go execute them. Luckily, Cap's able to save the day. But no, but I really do think that that's a real thing that they'd love to be able to do at some point. Forget profiling us. Wouldn't they love to be able to, at some point in the future, if necessary, literally have the ability to take action against us without really moving the needle too far? I mean, imagine a society in the future where the government could pinpoint its citizens that it doesn't like and take them out from the sky. See, when that movie came out in 2013 or whenever it was, that seemed like fiction. Ha ha, it's fun, right? Here's Captain America having to take down S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra because they put this big ship up in the air that has all these cannons on there and it focuses on all the people that are threats and then just starts systematically taking them out. I got news for you. You don't need to launch a big ship in the air. You can just have a satellite up in the air that is probably able to do the same thing and drones up in the air that can probably do the same thing. And an artificial intelligence algorithm that can figure out who are the people that are the biggest pains in the ass to the government. Are we that far away from a future where that becomes a very, very realistic possibility where we think back to the good old days when the government just profiled us and read our emails? Really? They said after 9/11, it was a failure of imagination. They said that was the biggest problem with 9/11 was a failure of imagination. I look at AI and the threat of AI as two fronts, and I try to use my imagination here. I think of the threat of a foreign entity having the power to be able to disable us militarily using artificial intelligence, and their AI is able to beat up our AI and take control over whatever important infrastructure or whatever important military assets we have that are reliant upon artificial intelligence. And then I think about the dystopian aspect of this, which is that society then, which is able to control its citizens using artificial intelligence without ever having to worry about somebody ever firing a literal physical gun. Because that's always been our thing, right? A population that is armed, the government has to fear that population. But if the government's controlling drones over the sky that are able to pinpoint the citizens that are on the naughty list and take them out with frickin' laser beams, that's a scary prospect. That's a very scary prospect. Oh, and by the way, we do that with terrorists now. I mean, we have drone technology, but there's a guy sitting there and he pushes a button. So there's a human checkpoint there before that button's pushed and that person launches from the comfort of their seat at the Pentagon a drone thousands of miles away that goes into a little bodega and kills a terrorist. But what happens when the human element is taken out of it and that technology, which is there to identify the bad guys, and suddenly we're the bad guys? I think about that dystopian future. Then I think about the dystopian future of their AI beating up our AI and their AI controlling us and then turning us into the bad guys, all of us. And I think these are real legitimate concerns. Nothing you could shake your head at. And when I hear Trump talk about the investment in artificial intelligence, and I hear him talk about the advances, and I hear them talk about things like, hey, we'll be able to figure out if you've got cancer just simply by scanning your body with an app. I really believe deep down inside the subtext of that is, hey, China, we're not falling behind here on this. And if we're publicly saying what we're going to do with the AI stuff, what we're not saying behind the scenes, your people know as well as we do that we're well ahead of the curve on this. We get the joke. We know what you're doing. And only imagine what we're doing behind the scenes to make sure that we can handle you going forward in the future. So I got to believe, like, guys like Larry Ellison and other people who are writing these big checks, I have to believe that this is only a matter of ensuring that there are people in charge who care and give a damn about civil liberties and can harness this in a way. And then we don't do something stupid in the future, like elect somebody who doesn't give a damn about civil liberties, because that ultimately is the problem. This is coming. The only question now is, can we ensure that it comes in a way that benefits us and protects the Constitution and protects the rights of the American people while we're creating all of this, and we don't let our enemies get ahead of us on this, but then in the future, that we, the people, are not dumb enough to elect people who will then use that power against us, weaponize it, and use it for political purposes? Because the one rule the Zioli axiom has held true all of these years, and that is this: whatever liberty we sacrifice in the name of keeping us safe, the government will weaponize it and use it against the American people for political purposes. And make no mistake, they will do that with artificial intelligence. 100%. They absolutely will. So really, it's incumbent upon us to ensure that a couple of things happen. One, we always elect the right people. Two, we ensure that the bureaucrats, the faceless, nameless bureaucrats who have been empowered all these years to weaponize government, are rooted out. And whatever processes they have in place that have been able to weaponize the government against the American people. And remember, the president, as part of his executive order against weaponization, has demanded that within 30 days they make a report to him and they come clean on everything that these departments are doing. Well, that needs to happen. And every 30 days after that, that needs to happen, because we have to clean out whatever is happening within government and then ensure that that never happens again. So to come full circle here, it's like at the end of the movie when Cap says to Tony, or Cap says to Samuel L. Jackson's character, who is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he says, S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, it all goes. Right? It all goes because it's been so corrupted. It's been so infiltrated by the bad guys. Before we really make moves on AI, we got a clean house.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.